Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Popes do this from time to time as the need arises. They appoint those who will appoint their successor. Pope Francis is no exception. The College of Cardinals is that body of men in the Roman Catholic hierarchy that, when the need arises, choose a new pope, sometimes from within their own ranks and sometimes not. Now, the press is speculating, in particular the Daily Beast is speculating, that progressive cardinals are going to be appointed by this pope to ensure that the direction he has set will be kept there. They're even calling it stacking the deck. Joining us to talk about Pope Francis' new appointees to the College of Cardinals, Dr. James Hitchcock, Professor Emeritus of History at St. Louis University. Dr. Hitchcock, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always glad to be here.
All right, I'm going to read this to you. This is from the Daily Beast, and this is just an excerpt of what the takeaway from the story apparently is. It certainly doesn't take much reading to read between the lines of Pope Francis's choice of new cardinals to see that he is stacking the deck to ensure his eventual replacement thinks just as he does. Francis will stay on its upward trajectory or fall back into the dark ages. Is that what's going on here with the appointment of these new cardinals?
Well, by definition, of course, when somebody appoints people like that, they're presumably appointing people whom they trust and like. The most notable thing to note about the appointments, though, to begin with, is how many of them are from the Third World. So in the standard liberal conservative terms that we use in the United States, that doesn't tell us much. We don't know what these cardinals think. Some of the Third World cardinals, especially in Africa, are really deemed to be theologically quite conservative. So the first lesson you would take away is that he wants to move the church more away from Europe and more towards the Third World. Well, we knew that already. Now, when we speak of the ones that we do know something about, that is to say the Americans, I would say yes. He's moving in a more liberal direction. The appointment of Archbishop Supich to Chicago was the first sign of that. Now he's made a cardinal. Archbishop Tobin of Indianapolis is made a cardinal. My own guess is he's not going to stay in Indianapolis. He's going to go back to Rome and have a job there. But he's kind of identified as a liberal, but it's sort of fairly, you know, unclear, rather indistinct, let's say. What is more important in the United States is what he didn't do. He did not confer the red hat on Philadelphia, Detroit, Los Angeles, although they have a retired cardinal there, places which would ordinarily have had cardinals in the past. Does that mean that he doesn't particularly trust those men? It's very hard to say. There are, I think, some obvious differences between Archbishop Chaput of Philadelphia and the Pope, and it's quite possible that he was deliberately passed over. But again, you know, all of this is very speculative.
How would you explain to the kind of the non-Roman Catholic how this system overall works, the system of selecting popes, and then what the cardinals are doing in the meantime when, you know, we can sometimes go decades and decades without the need to select a new pope?
Yes. Well, it's the whole process is itself very mysterious because it goes on behind closed doors and there's the occasional leak, but who knows how reliable the leaks are. Now, Francis is obviously not a young man. He has spoken himself about thinking maybe it's only going to be a short pontificate. On the other hand, some popes have lived to be very old. So it's quite possible that there could be an election in the near future. It could be possible that most of the people he's appointed today will not be around to vote when the next time comes. There's not very much certitude in these matters. The one thing I think we can say is that compared to his two predecessors, Francis does lean, if you will, people call it a more liberal direction. What it amounts to, in my opinion, is he wants to be very personalistic. He wants to get away from dogma. He wants to get away from laws and rules. To what extent can you do that and still be Pope? You know, the Pope has some obligation to maintain the integrity of the institution. So I think that's where the controversy really lies.
Choice of who not to pick, you were talking about just a moment ago.
Yes.
Are you saying that we should pay attention not only to the men he has chosen to determine what he's up to, so to speak, but also the men he didn't choose?
Yes. As I say, I think it is significant, particularly that Archbishop Chaput of Philadelphia was not appointed. I know a little bit about Australia, and Archbishop Fisher of Sydney was not appointed. Those look to me like rather significant omissions. Now, one could say, well, he's saying to himself, I can't appoint so many in these Western countries because I want to appoint more of them in the Third World. So that's a possibility. But I think there's no doubt that these archbishops who have kind of stood out for what people would call conservatism are not high on the Pope's list.
When we see these various countries represented, is there an attempt by not only this Pope but other popes before him to make this College of Cardinals representative of worldwide Roman Catholicism?
Yeah, that's been going on for a long time. You know, people sort of think of it as a new idea, but it's been going on steadily for a long, long time. But I think Francis has obviously ratcheted up a little bit here. Again, not in terms of his own Latin America, but primarily in terms of Asia and Africa. And it obviously has to do with his view of where the future of the church lies. Now, in his moving away from Europe is kind of interesting because the roots of what we call liberalism are really to be found in Europe. And to the degree that he's making fewer European cardinals, the liberal element in the College of Cardinals is going to be probably reduced. The likelihood is that he's making more African cardinals. He's increasing the conservative element in the College of Cardinals. But again, you know, this is all very speculative at this particular moment.
What about the African contingent? I mean, there is, if I'm looking at the list here, there is at least one from the Central African Republic, but Africa is generally known as, at least in non-Roman Catholic circles, as probably a more conservative element, say in Anglicanism and elsewhere. What do you think about that?
Yes, that's quite true. Probably the most outspoken conservative cardinal right now is Cardinal Sarah, who's African. I forget from what country he is, but he's got a high position in the Vatican. The way he talks publicly about what's going on in the world and what the church should do about it and so forth he's not singing the same song that Francis is singing. I'm not saying they're opposed to one another, but they're not on the same page, you might say. There's been a whole history of that. I could name you a half dozen African cardinals in the last 20 years, some of whom I knew personally, who would be considered among the most conservative members of the college.
How often do you hear media pundits, as we heard before from the Daily Beast, use the term Dark Ages, that label when referring to traditional Catholics,
right?
Dr. Hitchcock?
Well, that's an old term, of course, going back centuries. It's just merely a term of abuse. People that you don't like because you think their ideas are old-fashioned, you say they live in the Dark Ages. I don't remember who this man is whose words you were quoting to me. I don't think I'd ever heard of him before. But my general experience has been that secular journalists have only hardly have a clue of what's really going on. They can only understand things in terms of, oh, he's a progressive, no, he's a reactionary. If they can't fit it into those terms, they don't even know what to do with it. And that sounds to me like another example.
And does he deserve the reputation that is often promoted, with about 30 seconds here, Dr. Hitchcock, that is often promoted of him, that he is a progressive in the American sense and moving further left?
Well, the only position on which he's really committed himself is admitting divorced and remarried Catholics to the sacraments. On a lot of other of these issues, I mean, he's praised the Mexicans for demonstrating in favor of same-sex families. He's spoken out very strongly against abortion. I think that there's a kind of a tone of let's be open, let's be loving, but when you come right down to doctrine, I think he's obviously orthodox.
Dr. James Hitchcock is Professor Emeritus of History at St. Louis University. Dr. Hitchcock, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to continue our series Worldview Watch, talking with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting TV about hormonal birth control. There's some medical things to consider here, some psychological things to consider, and some generational things to consider when we consider the worldview that is expressed in hormonal birth control. Then we will get both an update on the November elections and a bit of armchair quarterbacking on Sunday's second presidential debate held here in St. Louis with Mark Hemingway, senior writer for the Weekly Standard, and Molly Hemingway, senior editor for The Federalist. Hour 2 in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Daily worship, historical hymnody, and catechesis interwoven with direct instruction in phonics, traditional math, literature, grammar, history, Latin, and strings. It's part of our daily life at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're located 1 mile off Interstate 55. For more information, visit school.stpaulhamel.org. We would love to share our joy in learning with your child. school.stpaulhamel.org.